Hello, my name is Paul Weatherly, and this is a short introduction to Chapter 12, in which we ask the question, is inequality bad for business? In order to answer this question, we have to know what inequality means. And for this purpose, we distinguish between two conceptions of equality, and they are equality of outcome and equality of opportunity, and the related idea of social mobility. Secondly, we need to understand the evidence about the pattern of inequality and recent trends. And thirdly, we need to examine the implications of inequality for business and whether it is indeed bad for business. There are two conceptions of equality, and both are referred to in debates about fairness in society, and particularly in relation to the economy and the behaviour of business. The principle of equality of opportunity tends to be widely supported. This refers to opportunities to get on in life, especially in relation to work and earning a living. And it means that opportunities that are enjoyed by some should not be denied to others, regardless of their background. For example, men and women should have the same opportunities to work, and women should not face prejudice or discrimination. In other words, equality of opportunity is about removing barriers that some people face that others don't. It's related to social mobility in the sense that having equal opportunity means people can rise to the top regardless of their social background. Equality of outcome, on the other hand, is concerned not with the chances of people getting to the top, but with the gap in earnings or wealth between those at the top and those at the bottom. And this conception of equality is generally more controversial in our society than the concept of equality of opportunity. Support for equality of outcome does not necessarily mean everyone should have the same income and wealth, but that the gap between the rich and poor should be smaller. So the debate about equality in terms of equality of opportunity versus equality of outcome can be seen in these terms. As long as opportunities are equal, is it fair enough if some get ahead and others fall behind? Some people would say that as long as there are equal opportunities, it doesn't matter if some end up better off than others. On the other hand, should we be concerned about the outcome as well, to ensure that some don't get left too far behind or that some don't pull too far ahead? If the gap gets too wide, then it's difficult to have equal opportunity between rich and poor. So the conceptions of equality of opportunity and equality of outcome are related in that way. In the chapter, we consider equality of opportunity in relation to women and work. We look at how attitudes to women and work have shifted in Britain and other Western societies, and how the principle of equality of opportunity is widely supported. This shift can be characterised in terms of a widespread attitude that a woman's place is in the home, to the idea that a woman has the right to work equally with men. The chapter looks at evidence of whether women have achieved equal opportunities with men in the UK. And this is considered under four headings. First of all, the participation rate of women in the workforce compared to men. Secondly, what's often referred to as occupational segregation. And this has two dimensions. One is horizontal segregation, which refers to the tendency of men and women to be found in different types of occupations. And secondly, vertical segregation, which refers to men and women being found at different levels within the hierarchy of business and organisations. a phenomenon that's often referred to as the glass ceiling. Thirdly, we look at the representation of men and women in part-time and temporary work. And finally, the gender pay gap. Women are underrepresented in senior positions in business compared to men, for example, on boards of directors. And the chapter looks at evidence of this in relation to the Davis report into women on boards. Being underrepresented means that there are far fewer women than men. Now, whether this is unfair depends on the reason for there being so few women. For example, if it is the result of discrimination or other barriers, then clearly it is unfair. It could be argued that if women have the same talents and aspirations as men and have equal opportunities, then in time 50% of board members should be female. However, equal opportunity is not just a matter of fairness, important though that is. And the Davis Review of Women on Boards sets out the business case for ensuring equal opportunity. This includes claims that equal opportunity will improve business performance, that it will involve accessing the widest talent pool, that it will allow businesses to be more responsive to the market, and that it will achieve better corporate governance. The chapter then goes on to look at inequality of outcome in terms of both wealth and income. So, first of all, the chapter looks at evidence about the pattern and trends in terms of income and wealth inequalities. So, just to give you a flavour in terms of income inequality, on a global scale, inequality has been increasing for the last three decades. In OECD countries, that's members of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the ratio of earnings of the top 10% to the bottom 10% has increased from 7 to 1 to 9 to 1 over this period. In the United Kingdom, in 2015-16, the top 20% of earners accounted for 40% of total pre-tax income, while the bottom 20% accounted for only 7%. These are very partial measures of inequality, and the chapter shows that it's very important to look at what's happening at the extremes, and particularly in terms of the top 1% of earners and the top 1% of the wealthy in society. Inequality has become an increasing focus of attention and concern in countries like Britain. The chapter goes on to look at why inequality has increased, how can we explain these trends in terms of increased inequality of income and wealth, but also why does it matter and what can be done. What has inequality got to do with business? In the chapter, we consider a number of arguments. On the one hand, it can be argued that inequality is needed in business to ensure incentives to encourage people to take on the responsibilities of the top jobs. So you have to pay people more to encourage them, to encourage the most talented people to perform the most senior and demanding jobs. That's an argument about incentives. Related to that, it can be argued that businesses have to pay the going rate in the market to attract that talent. So that's an argument about the going rate. And thirdly, Inequality can be justified in the terms that by paying people at the top more, ultimately the benefits trickle down to those lower down the pay and earnings hierarchy. On the other hand, it can be argued that wide inequalities in society are very damaging to social cohesion and values of community in society. In addition to that, inequality can be damaging to the morale of the workforce. If people feel that the business is benefiting those at the top more than the members of the workforce. Thirdly, it can be argued that inequality reflects an unattractive value of greed in our society and a failure of business to take seriously its social responsibility. And finally, inequality can be very damaging to the reputation of business.